Akatra Foundation presents the Akatra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akatra AI. Okay, so let's unpack this. We're doing a deep dive today into a story that, wow, it really explores how sometimes losing just about everything, well, it can show you what truly matters. We are talking about Brittany Griner's really powerful 2024 memoir, Coming Home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so much more than just a sports memoir. You know, it's this profound journey, resilience, identity, the meaning of home. It mixes the personal and the public perfectly.
Absolutely.
And, you know, many of you will know Brittany Griner, American pro basketball player, 2 Olympic gold, WNBA champ. She's 6'9", just literally changed the game for women's basketball.
Yeah, a real force.
Exactly. But her story is we're going to explore. It goes way beyond athletics. It touches on LGBTQ plus advocacy, racial justice, even these incredible complexities of international diplomacy. So our goal today is really to dig into her story, you know, from this basketball phenom to an international prisoner and now an advocate, and figure out why her journey is just such a powerful example of, well, vulnerability in telling your truth.
Yeah, and what's truly fascinating about Griner's life, when you look at it, is how it's really a story of profound transformation. And so often, that transformation comes directly from, well, adversity.
Mm-hmm.
If you trace her journey chronologically, you really see how those early experiences sort of laid the groundwork for who she became.
Absolutely. So let's start there. Tell us about those formative years. What kind of home did she grow up in? How did that shape things?
Well, Brittany grew up in Houston, Texas. It was a military family. Her father, Raymond Griner, a Vietnam vet, later a sheriff's deputy, he brought this real sense of discipline.
Okay.
While her mother, Sandra, was more the, you know, the emotional anchor. But what the memoir really brings out is how early on, because of her height, Brittany just stood out physically.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And by middle school, this apparently made her a target. Bullying, lots of unwanted attention, experiences that she explains really shaped her empathy later on, especially for marginalized groups.
Mm-hmm.
The basketball court then became this kind of refuge for her. It was the one place where her size went from being, you know, a burden to her biggest asset.
Right.
But even with that success on the court, she writes about grappling with identity. Like, where did she really belong?
It's powerful, isn't it? How she connects that feeling of being different early on to her later advocacy work.
Mm.
So from those early years, how did things develop through her education and her rise in basketball? Did that continue to shape her sense of self?
Oh, definitely. High school at Nimitz in Houston was key.
Right.
Her coach there, Debbie Jackson, became like a surrogate mother figure.
Yeah.
And she taught Brittany that real strength wasn't just about, you know, being dominant yourself, but about lifting others up, which is a theme you see again and again. Mm-hmm. Then at Baylor University, she just exploded into this like generational talent, led them to an undefeated season national championship in 2012.
Incredible.
But the memoir is also incredibly honest about the tensions then. She felt this constant pull, you know, between her authentic self and the image maybe the university or parts of the sports world wanted her to project.
Right.
She was really struggling internally with her sexual identity. College basketball, especially then, could be a pretty conservative world, and she feared the consequences of being fully herself.
That tension, that internal struggle versus external expectations,
yeah,
that really feels like a recurring theme in her story.
It absolutely is.
So she makes it to the WNBA, top of her game. How did her pro career continue that dynamic, that push and pull?
It definitely continued. She was the first overall pick, 2013 WNBA draft, Phoenix Mercury, and boom, immediate impact. Historic stuff, dunking, shot blocking, just redefining possibilities.
Yeah.
But as she reveals in the book, this huge public success was often kind of shadowed by her private struggle as one of the few openly gay athletes at that level.
Right.
Winning the 2014 WNBA championship was, yeah, a professional high point. But Griner describes still feeling this immense weight of representation, like pressure to be perfect.
Mm.
She even questions in the memoir whether that success felt a bit hollow because she wasn't maybe feeling fully personally fulfilled yet.
Wow. That's a really profound thought, isn't it?
Yeah.
To reach the absolute pinnacle and still feel something missing. So leading up to the events in Russia, what was life like then? And how did playing overseas even become part of her story?
Well, in the years just before her detention, she was still excelling in the WNBA, picked up 2 more Olympic gold medals, 2016, 2021.
Right.
And interestingly, alongside that, her social consciousness was really growing. She started using her platform much more intentionally. Now, the decision to play overseas in Russia during the WNBA off seasons Well, like many top women's players, it wasn't just for the love of the game. It was, frankly, a financial necessity because of the pay gap compared to, say, the NBA.
Yeah, that's a critical point.
And that necessity, tragically, is what set the stage for her most harrowing chapter. The arrest in February 2022, Moscow airport, drug charges, it just plunged her into what she calls a geopolitical nightmare.
Unimaginable.
Yeah. And that 294-day detention is really the emotional core of the book. She's incredibly unflinching about the fear, the despair, and how being stripped of, well, everything superficial forced her to figure out what truly mattered.
You know, hearing that whole arc from feeling different as a kid to the peak of her sport and then the absolute depths of that detention, it really makes you wonder, how did all these experiences, especially that time in Russia, really forge her core beliefs, her outlook on life now?
That's a great question. Her worldview, as she lays it out in Coming Home, seems fundamentally shaped by this belief that living authentically takes courage, not, you know, not being afraid, but acting despite the fear. And that philosophy, it feels like it was forged right at that intersection of her identities. Black, gay, Paul, woman, public figure.
Right.
A really central idea for her is chosen family. This idea that home isn't just about geography or blood relations. It's the people who truly see you, who support you, who fight for you.
Yeah.
And that idea became just crystal clear, absolutely solidified during her detention when her community, her wife Sherelle, her teammates, fans, advocates, they rallied globally for her.
That concept of chosen family, especially when your usual support system is literally worlds away, that must have been incredibly grounding.
Immense, yeah.
But what about her approach to honesty? The book mentions radical honesty. What does that mean for her?
Yeah, she talks about embracing this radical honesty. Her argument is basically that pretending, putting on a mask, is like a self-imposed prison. She even says something like, it's more confining than any physical cell.
Wow.
Now, that commitment to just being real, it has at times made her a polarizing figure, sure. But she seems to fundamentally believe that living in fear of judgment, that's just not living. Correct. Her motivations seem to be threefold. One, this pursuit of excellence, which maybe started as a way to channel feeling different. Two, a deep desire for belonging, which evolved into trying to create spaces where others could belong. And three, powerfully, this commitment to justice, which clearly comes from her own lived experiences of discrimination. Her whole approach to adversity seems to have shifted over time from maybe avoidance to confrontation and now to integration. She calls it controlled vulnerability.
Controlled vulnerability. Explain that a bit more. That sounds interesting.
It's this idea of strategically sharing her deepest pains, not to sort of wallow in victimhood, but to fuel advocacy, to connect her experience to bigger issues. It's about transforming pain into a catalyst for change for herself and hopefully for others.
That's a really nuanced and powerful concept. It suggests real intention behind the vulnerability. So looking back across her whole life, if we had to pinpoint the moments that really dramatically shifted her course, here's where it gets really interesting, right?
You're absolutely right. There are probably five moments that just leap out as truly pivotal.
Okay, let's hear them.
First, coming out publicly in 2013, right after being drafted, huge deal. She became one of the very first active players in a major pro league to live openly as gay.
Right, trailblazing.
Totally. And it wasn't just personal. It was this profound alignment of her public and private selves. And it seemed to fundamentally shift how she saw leadership representation, using her platform intentionally for LGBTQ plus rights.
Okay, number one. What's next?
Second, the 2014 WNBA championship. Yes, it was a peak professional moment with Phoenix, but the memoir frames it as equally important for teaching her the difference between just individual achievement and, like, collective success.
Oh, okay.
It showed her what real belonging within a team felt like, and it marked her emergence as truly a face of women's basketball, and she started embracing that responsibility to change perceptions.
So it wasn't just that she won, but how they won together and what that sense of connection taught her. Makes sense. What followed that?
Third, her marriage and subsequent divorce in 2015, her brief marriage to fellow player Glory Johnson, and the divorce that followed. She describes it as a really painful but necessary learning curve. The book is remarkably candid about her own mistakes, the intense public scrutiny, how external pressures just complicated everything personal. She learned, she says, really tough lessons about timing, emotional readiness, and the danger of making huge life choices based on what others expect, instead of your own truth.
Public figures dealing with private life under a microscope that adds such a layer of difficulty. Okay, what's number four?
Fourth, the 2020 social justice awakening. For her, like for so many, the murder of George Floyd and the national reckoning that followed was a profound turning point.
Yeah.
She went from being maybe a supportive voice to really a leading advocate, using her platform forcefully to talk about systemic racism, police violence. It transformed her understanding of the responsibility that comes with visibility, connecting her own experiences to these much broader movements.
That's a significant evolution from focusing maybe more inwardly to this wider call for justice. And then, of course, the fifth turning point, arguably the most dramatic, the one that defines the book.
Absolutely. Fifth, her arrest and detention in Russia, starting in 2022. This is, without doubt, the memoir's central transformative event, those 294 days. They forced her to confront mortality, powerlessness, the very meaning of freedom in ways she couldn't have imagined.
Just terrifying to contemplate.
Totally. It taught her, she writes, the power of hope, the importance of international solidarity, and it completely redefined her public role when she was finally released. She shares these incredibly deep reflections from that time, like saying, the cell was small, but my fear was smaller.
Wow.
And that powerful contrast with her athletic life. I spent years learning to take up space. Russia taught me the power of taking up none. It also, of course, threw her right into the middle of complex international diplomacy, where her freedom became this major bargaining chip between the U.S. and Russia.
The power of taking up none. That just...
Yeah.
It really hits you, doesn't it?
It does.
It's incredible how she reframed things. Like you mentioned that shoe story earlier, being given shoes way too small, mm-hmm. and turning that into a metaphor for surviving discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
So if we try to connect all this, her whole journey, to maybe bigger, more universal human lessons, what can we draw from Brittany Griner's life?
There's so much there. I think one really powerful lesson is about authenticity as liberation. Her journey really shows that living authentically, especially when you hold marginalized identities in the public eye, isn't just personal fulfillment. It can be politically revolutionary. It carves out space for others.
Yeah.
Then there's resilience through community. The memoir just hammers this home. Individual resilience, it's actually collective. Her own strength, when it was tested to the absolute limit, was basically held up and amplified by this global network of chosen family.
Right.
Her wife, Sherelle, becoming the public face, fighting for her. Teammates like Diana Taurasi, Sue Bird, providing support, advocating. It really challenges that myth of the solo hero going it alone.
I love that framing, challenging the myth of solo heroism.
Yeah.
It wasn't just about her strength, but the strength of those around her.
Exactly. And we also learned so much about the power of perspective, Griner's ability to find meaning, even in profound suffering, and then transform that trauma into advocacy. It's pretty incredible. That shoe story is one example. And she mentions receiving the letter from a young fan, a young gay athlete who wrote to her in detention, reminding her why her visibility mattered. It shows this capacity she has to find strength and purpose even in the absolute worst situations.
Mm.
Her life also teaches that courage is a practice. It's not some innate quality you either have or you don't. It's developed. Small, daily acts of honesty, building up to bigger acts of resistance, like she details her morning routine in the Russian cell, the systematic way she maintained her sanity, her dignity in dehumanizing conditions.
Wow, like a muscle you build.
Exactly. And finally, maybe the most resonant lesson is that home is a choice. As she puts it so well, home isn't where you come from. It's where you're welcome. It's not inherited, it's something you actively create through authentic relationships, mutual care. And her story shows just how challenging but ultimately liberating making that choice can be, especially when society keeps pushing you to conform.
Those are really, really profound takeaways. So let's try to bring all this together now. If we had to distill Brittany Griner's journey and her memoir into three essential insights for you, the listener, what would they be? Okay, first, let's call it an emotional insight. What Brittany Griner's story really lays bare is that profound loneliness of feeling different, especially in places that demand you fit in, but also the incredible transformative power of finding even just one person who truly sees you, accepts you. Her story shows how isolation can break you, yeah, but it can also teach you the deep value of authentic connection. And those people who fight for you when you absolutely cannot fight for yourself, they become your truest family.
That's beautifully put. Then maybe an intellectual insight. Griner's experience vividly demonstrates how the intersection of individual identity, think about it, Black, gay, tall, female, athlete, interacts with systemic oppression. It creates these unique vulnerabilities. And addressing those vulnerabilities, it requires both immense personal resilience and real structural change. Her personal journey and her social justice work aren't separate things. They're deeply interconnected parts of the same struggle for human dignity and freedom.
Right. The personal and the political are intertwined. And finally, a universal insight. Home isn't a static place on a map. It's an active, ongoing practice. It's the deliberate choice to create and nurture spaces where authentic self-expression isn't just, you know, tolerated, but actually celebrated. Real belonging doesn't come from trying to fit a mold or perform for others. It only truly emerges when we find the courage to show up as our whole, complete selves and have the wisdom to surround ourselves with people who genuinely honor that authenticity.
And, you know, this really raises an important question, doesn't it? Brittany Griner's memoir, Coming Home, it feels like a roadmap in a way, a roadmap for how individual courage, when it's linked with community and purpose, can actually contribute to collective liberation. Her story really challenges all of us, I think, to look at where we might be hiding parts of our authentic selves, maybe out of fear, and also where can we actively work to create more inclusive spaces for others? How can we extend that vital sense of home beyond just ourselves?
Brittany Griner's journey is such a powerful reminder that that quest we all have for personal authenticity, for a real sense of belonging, it often leads us down unexpected paths to these intersections with huge global issues, with the fight for basic human dignity. It really makes you wonder, doesn't it? Where in your own life might choosing authenticity lead you? Maybe to a deeper understanding of home and perhaps even connection to a wider world. Join us next time for a new episode featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Acontra Foundation.